Welcome to Your Personal Power Pod, a podcast about aligning yourself with the life you want. And here are your hosts, Sandy Abel and Shannon Young. Shannon, this is a hugely exciting day. How are you today?
I am so great. How are you doing?
I am fabulous, and I am just in awe that this is our 100th episode. I cannot believe that when we said, hey, let's do a podcast 2.5 years ago, we are now at 100, which is very exciting.
Cue the confetti.
Yay. Oh, and the drum roll. We need the drum roll.
The drum roll, yeah. It's really very cool. When we first started, we thought we've got some stuff to say, but we're not sure how it's going to go. And here we are, and here all of you guys are, and we just love having you as part of our life. So today, you know, we always try to throw in a couple of quotes to support what we're talking about, but I know that each of us have our own favorite quotes that kind of rule how we live. And so today we thought we would just share some of those and talk about what they mean for us, and maybe they'll have some meaning for you as well.
Exactly. And we're doing this fun, weird thing that we each chose 4 quotes. We may not get to them all. We may run out of quotes, but we have not told each other what our favorite quotes are. So we're just going to surprise each other as well as you all. So we're going to start with Shannon sharing one of her quotes.
Yay. So this was a really easy assignment for me to do. Actually, it was easy, but it was also a challenge because quotes are a big part of my life. And I have a handful that I have carried with me for decades that are just huge and kind of are a thread that run through my life. And part of my challenge was editing.
Yes, right.
Cutting some of those down. Mm-hmm. There's also a snippet from a poem. Really, I could talk for weeks about quotes and the role they play in my life. But anyway, so I picked 4, maybe 5, depending on the time that we have. Maybe 6, depending on the time that we have. So I'll start with the first one. There are a couple that I'm sure lots of us have heard. I know they float around on Facebook, but they were my favorites before Facebook was even a thing. The first one is a quote from Rainer Maria Rilke, and the quote is long. It is, "I beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now because you would not be able to live them. The point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer."
Wow. That's deep. That's profound.
And no, I did not memorize that.
So tell us how that impacts your life.
I love the fact that while we as a species know a lot, we don't know everything. While I love science and I love when we find the quote-unquote answers, I also love the mystery. Mm. And I feel like the mystery is often the most magical part of being here. And so I really like that quote because it tells me you don't have to know everything. It's about faith. It's about just believing in the magic.
Yes.
And that to me is just really special. That gives depth and meaning and sparkle to my life.
And to everything that happens in your life, even the things that are not wonderful or don't seem wonderful at the time,
Yeah. You
realize that there is some positive that's going to come out of it somewhere, someday, that there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. So, wow, that's really profound. Thank you for sharing that one.
Yes. Do you want me to move on to the next one,
which sure.
Essentially says the same thing?
Okay, go for it.
It is an Albert Einstein quote, which is very short, which is great. And it is that there are only 2 ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle.
Oh, wow. It's important which one you choose.
Because
that will determine how the rest of your life unfolds.
Yeah, which is what we talk about a lot in our podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Where you put your attention is the way your life goes.
Exactly. And Einstein was obviously an incredibly smart man. It's interesting that he lived his life that way.
He had a couple of functioning brain cells for sure.
Yes, he did.
Would you like to share a couple of yours?
I would love to. There are 2 or 3. I couldn't find one because, you know, there are so many smart people out there. But the first one is, Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Winston Churchill said that.
Nice.
Along with that, it's take control of your life by taking control of your thoughts and attitudes. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. a negative mind will never give you a positive life.
Oh, that's a good one.
Absolutely. How you approach what happens in your life, and it's kind of like what you were saying, if you find the positive in whatever's going on, there will be more positive. I've had clients I've worked with who, when we started working together, they were doom and gloom and, oh my gosh, my life's so awful and nothing ever works and I hate it all. And my goodness, it's terrible. After working together for a while, they would start shifting their perspective a little bit and start noticing the positive that happened every day. Even if it's the sun is out and it's beautiful, or there are blossoms on the trees, or somebody gave me a compliment that I didn't expect. And by the time we're through working together, their whole perspective has changed. They say, you know, it's amazing. Everything seems to be working out. And all those things I was struggling with are not an issue anymore. They've resolved themselves or gone away or whatever. I am a happy person now. And that just fills my heart with joy, because that's all about what I do. And I want everybody to enjoy and find the beauty and the miracles in their lives every day. So the attitude, how you approach, what do you say to yourself before you ever get out of bed?
What do you choose to see?
Exactly, exactly. Because there is always positive and always negative, as we have said multiple times. It's all there for you. Pick what you want, and that will be your life. So attitude.
That's powerful.
And that ties right into what you were saying about finding the miracles and appreciating what is there.
Yeah, life just is. It's not bad. It's not good. It just is.
Yes.
And you can't put your focus on everything all the time. So you have to put your focus somewhere. And what you focus on is going to determine how you feel about your life.
Yes. And what you tell yourself about it. And as we've said, thoughts create feelings. So if you get up in the morning and say, oh, another awful day, it's raining and I just hate this. Yeah, it's going to be an awful day. You just predicted that. You just created that. If you get up and say, oh, wow, it's raining. This is really cool. The plants are happy. The trees are growing. We get water in the lakes and then we'll have water to drink. Isn't this fun? You'll have a whole different day. Mm-hmm. It's all about attitude, finding the miracles, finding the beauty. So you have another quote.
Yes. This one I saw a few weeks ago, I think, and it really struck me at this particular point in my life, which is middle age, essentially.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing the career that I thought I would be doing forever. And I'm married, which is great. And I love my husband very much. You know, it's not the fantasy. It's a whole lot of hard work. And it's different than I thought it would be. And just my life is kind of in a place where it's different than I envisioned. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I've been feeling a little rudderless. And so this quote, I'm not even sure where it came from, but it hit me pretty hard. And it's from Wendell Berry. When we no longer know what to do, we have come to our real work. And when we no longer know which way to go, we have begun our real journey.
Wow, that's profound.
And that was so great, because feeling lost is a horrible feeling. And to know that, no, this is an important place to be is really helpful.
Absolutely. And you don't move ahead and do new things if we're back to comfort zones here. If everything is as you predicted and exactly the way you wanted it to be, that's wonderful, but you can get too comfy there and not move ahead. And when you're feeling a little lost, it's perfect, because then you look around and you say, so what can I do? Who can I help? What can I learn? How can I grow? All those important things to get you out of your comfort zone and help you create a new destination.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, that's beautiful.
And it kind of ties into a passage I read somewhere many years ago that essentially said, when you're feeling like you don't know what to do, deciding not to make a choice is a choice.
Yes, absolutely.
Staying where you are right now because you don't know which direction to go in is definitely a course of action.
Yes, that is a choice. And it's a wise choice, because if you are aware and open to new things coming, something will come. It's like the podcast. Never in my life did I think we would do a podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was back in the day. it just appeared into my brain and your brain one day. That kind of thing happens if you stop frantically looking for the right thing and just be open.
And make space. We talked, I think it was last week, about your walks and how walking makes space in your brain for new ideas. And I think that's really key these days when everybody's always plugged into something. I have a really bad habit of plugging myself into podcasts when I'm going to bed, doing laundry, all those times that used to be quiet time that you listen to yourself, now we're taken up with something else. So now I have to make a concerted effort to make space for that as well, because it's really easy just to let yourself be entertained all the time, but then you're missing out on all the goodness that comes from the magic of the universe and working through you and the ideas and the thoughts and the solutions and the magic. Yeah.
Exactly. Because of all technology, and my gosh, you can have podcasts in your ear everywhere you go. When I walk by an elementary school, and it kind of disturbs me that the kids are out for recess, which is very fun, and I love to watch them play. But the teachers or whoever's out there are playing really loud music for the kids to play to, I guess. I don't know. I mean, lots of drums, and leave them alone. Let them just play. They don't need noise all the time.
You have to learn how to fill your own life.
Yeah. And these days, it seems like there's always noise.
Yeah.
There's always a screen. There's something to watch or something to listen to. So you're never in touch with yourself. I miss that.
Yes. I noticed it especially during the pandemic. Because I don't live in a noisy neighborhood, but I do live in a noisy neighborhood. You know, I'm close to a relatively busy street. There's a hospital a couple blocks away, so there's often helicopter traffic. There's just life noise around. And I never really thought about how loud that was, how much noise there was, until the pandemic when it all stopped.
Yes.
And it was blissful to lay in bed at night and listen to the nothing.
Yes.
So I've started sleeping with earplugs. And it is truly one of the best parts of my day is putting those things in and having the silence in my head.
Which is great. Silence is really healing.
Yes.
It's very peaceful if you just let it be and don't need to fill it all the time. That is cool.
Wow, we went far ranging with that
one. We did. We ran all over the place.
What's your next quote?
Mine is sort of a two-part thing again, because I found two I liked. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide you're not going to stay where you are, and all progress takes place out of your comfort zone. So you step forward into growth rather than backward into safety.
Yep.
And that was J.P. Morgan and Michael John Bobach and Bob Proctor, those three quotes.
Nice.
And it's so important to realize that, yes, we love our comfort zones, but like we were just talking about, if you cling to it for all you're worth, you're never going to grow. There'll never be change. You'll never experience anything new and fun and exciting. And so it's important to be willing to step out of your comfort zone and decide that you're going to go somewhere else.
Very much so. That's very similar to a quote that I used to carry around with me a couple of decades ago that's attributed to, Aeneas Nin? And the quote is, "And the time came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to bloom."
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And what I've learned about comfort zones is you don't need to blast away every comfort zone you've got, you know.
So you got to keep one or two because you have a place to
exactly soften. Exactly. So, like for me, I love my home. It's very safe. It's very comfy. We've been here 35 years. I love my husband. He's awesome, and we're really good together. And that's my comfort zone, and that's my safe place. And we all need a safe place, emotionally safe and physically safe. But then with that, that gives me the strength to go out and do things that are a challenge for me. I've talked about how difficult it is for me to get up and do public speaking, although I do it and people seem to like it. But every time I do that, I'm thinking, but I can go home. I can be all safe in my house, you know? And so it's safe to push the comfort zone and do things that are new and different as long as you have a comfort zone somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you don't want to destroy it all at once. because you have to have a place that feels safe. And that might be the people in your life. It might be where you live or where you work or where you walk. But identify what your comfort zone is, then find ways to branch out from that and grow.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's as simple as having a routine, like being able to go out and try new things and do scary stuff, but knowing that you have a framework to return to.
Right. Exactly.
There was a time in my life where everything was kind of up in the air, and the only real constant was the hour a day that I spent on the treadmill.
Uh-huh.
And I looked forward to that hour hugely because I knew when I was in that room on that machine, that was my time. Nobody could interfere.
Yeah.
You know, that was my safe space for an hour a day.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference. Great.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, we all need some safe space. But we can't sit in it for a really, really long time because then you just sort of get stagnant and your brain atrophies and you don't really have, you wither, perfect word, you wither. And you don't have a happy life if you stay completely stuck in your comfort zone for a long time. Sometimes it's healing and healthy if you've been through a difficult time or you've done a lot of growth and created a new safe comfort spot, then you stay there for a while. But then don't let it control your life.
Yep.
What do you have for another one?
Well, my last quote isn't really a quote. It's the last line of a poem that I love. And this is one of the ones that has come with me for years and years and years. And it, to me, kind of sums up the other three or four quotes that I mentioned today. The poem is called First Lesson, and it's by Philip Booth. And the last line is, "Lie gently and wide to the light year stars. Lie back. And the sea will hold you."
Ooh, wow.
And I love it.
What what does that mean for you?
Well, the line before it, which is important to understand the context of the poem,
right,
is, "As you float now where I held you and let go, remember when fear cramps your heart what I told you. Lie gently and wide to the light, your stars lie back and the sea will hold you."
Oh, yeah, you need the whole thing.
You do, but you don't. To me, it's very literal if you read the rest of the poem, which is about a parent holding their kid in the water, holding them on their back, teaching them to float.
Right.
That last line for me just says, trust the universe.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And trust yourself.
Trust yourself, right.
Yeah. Well, to me, this line means trust the universe, and the fact that I'm part of the universe means that I'm included in that. But I feel like that's the thread that runs through all of my quotes, which is, there are things we don't know and that's okay. And trust it.
Absolutely. Instead of being afraid and running from it.
Yes.
And that is beautiful. And you live your life like that. I've seen it.
Aw, thank you. Yeah. What does that mean?
You're aware of what's around you and you go with the flow and you find the opportunities, and as you said, trust the universe. That's beautiful.
Oh, you are so kind, because as my mother, I know you have been victim to me railing against any number of things.
Well, we all need to rail once in a while, you know, that's okay.
But that is sweet. You know, there are some people who really struggle with why we're here, and I totally get that. I have every once in a great while peered into the existential abyss.
Mm-hmm.
But I just come back to the fact that I can't say I didn't have anything to do with the fact that I exist here, because who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't remember signing up. I don't remember checking boxes that say, like, I want to be female, I want to have hazel eyes. You know, like, none of those things were conscious decisions I in my current incarnation made. Like, something put me here, whether that's God or the universe or some science fiction maybe we're part of.
Aliens. Who knows?
I have no idea. But I'm here. And so that must mean something. And so I don't question that, which I think is a really big problem for a lot of people. Like, why am I here? And what's the point? And I just kind of have always thought, well, the point is to be here and love each other. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Because we're all part of the exact same thing.
That's right.
And I don't know why it's so hard to see that we're not separate.
Yeah, some people have trouble getting the bigger perspective like that. They just get down in the weeds and it makes their life more difficult and get lost. So that's beautiful, Shan. Nice job.
Thank you. That being said, the fact that we're all part of this together and let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya, I did see a Facebook post that spoke to me the other day, which I thought was big for me because I've always been very, I don't want to say free with my energy, but I have been very quick to share my energy with people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm too old for that now. And the quote was just some random Facebook quote that said, "Energy is expensive. We are not giving that out for free this year." So that is my current mentality. I'm going to protect my energy and give it where it is earned.
Well, and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So cool. I have one more.
Yes.
It's actually two or three that all go together again.
Okay.
The deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. That was William James who said that.
Yes.
And Margaret Cousins said, appreciation can make a day or even change a life.
Yes.
And what I know is the way we talk to our children becomes their inner voice.
Yes.
Yes. And being appreciated, being seen, being heard without judgment is huge. Speaking of Facebook, I read a beautiful story on Facebook about a fourth grade teacher wrote about a student that she had. I'll call him Jimmy. Jimmy came to her class and fourth grade, and he was sullen and angry and uncooperative, and his clothes were dirty, and he was disheveled, and he was just a mess. So she took an interest in him and started to care about him, which, what an awesome teacher. And she read back through the, every year the teachers at the end of the year wrote a synopsis about each student. In kindergarten, the teacher said, "Jimmy's awesome. He's happy and fun and really smart, and he's at the top of the class, and I just love teaching him." First grade, it was the same kind of thing. And then the second grade, the teacher wrote, "Jimmy's mother is struggling with cancer, and he's having a bad time, and I'm not sure quite what's going to happen to him." By the third grade, it was, "Jimmy's mom died. His father is too distracted and distraught, and he's having trouble." And so when the fourth grade teacher read all this, she knew exactly what was going on. He wasn't getting the appreciation. He wasn't being seen. He wasn't being nurtured. He was being ignored, and it was destroying his life.
Yeah.
So what she did was just single him out all the time and tell him how smart he was and make sure he had friends, and spent the whole year basically building up Jimmy. And then he went on to fifth grade, and she continued to stay in touch with him and had a chat with his teacher, so that teacher also took good care of Jimmy. Then he went on to high school, and she stayed in touch with him, and by then he was doing great. And when he was graduating from high school, he sent her a note and said, "I'm graduating, would you please come?" And she went, it makes me cry. She went to his to his graduation, and he had her sit right where the parents sit, because I don't know where his father was, but it wasn't part of what was going on. And then he moved on and went to college because he was really smart. She had stayed in touch off and on. And 4 years later, he sent her a note saying, "I'm graduating from college. Would you please come and sit in the parents section?" And she did. And then a few years later, he sent her the same kind of note saying, "Well, I'm getting my MD degree. I'm becoming a doctor. And would you come?" And she did. And then he sent her a note a couple of years later saying, "And I'm getting married, and would you please come sit in the front row and be my family?" Because by then his father had died, and she was his family. And yeah, she turned that boy's life around just by the power of appreciation, making him feel seen and heard and acknowledged and appreciated.
That's so awesome. You, more than anybody I've ever met, make it seem so easy to just see the person. You're always saying, people will tell me anything. And it's
they will.
Because you see them and you accept them.
Yes, I don't judge.
And you make them feel safe. You don't judge. You just allow people to be and appreciate them for that. And it is so powerful.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. So do you. You do that.
I'm working on it.
I hope that we leave our wonderful listeners, who we greatly appreciate, with the challenge of, who are you going to appreciate today? What are you going to go out and tell somebody to make their day? Because the fact that you see them and you care could change their life. Like, you're all changing ours.
Yes. And please loop yourself into that practice. You gotta appreciate you too.
Absolutely. Always, always. You can't give it out all the time if you don't feel it for you first.
Right.
Because you'll just run dry.
Yep.
So you have to appreciate who you are and then share it with the world. And you will change lives every day.
Thank you so much, Sandy. This was fun.
This was great. Thank you, Shannon. And thank you to our listeners for letting us try this whole new thing that was really fun to celebrate our 100th episode. Oh my gosh.
And please, we want to hear your quotes. So yes. Send us your quotes. We'll pick some. We'll read them on the air. I love to know the words that people carry around with them that affect their life in a positive way every time they reflect on those words. So share them with us, please.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you want to tell us your stories about self-esteem and personal power and how those two things have affected your life, please do. We love hearing them. If there are topics you would like us to discuss in future episodes, share those as well. That's really helpful for us because we like knowing that we're talking about things you want to learn about. And if you want to review our podcast, that's really helpful also. We really appreciate that. And you can do it wherever you stream. Or if you just want to talk to us directly, that's also awesome. And you can visit yourpersonalpowerpod.com, click contact, and send us an email. And if you want to learn about coaching and how it can change your life, contact Sandy directly at sandy@insidejobscoach.com. We look, as always, forward to hearing from you. And until next time, find your power and change your life.